The point taken, but there's so much more to say, and the mics are still on. It's Overtime with Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry.
Welcome to the Overtime Podcast. That is more time with Steve and Kristen after our daily live radio show when we come into the Pella Windows and Doors podcast studio, brand new. Has anyone else used this as much as we have?
Not as much as we have.
And not yet.
We're like the whole show, and I have multiple podcasts scheduled to record here. It's a nice space. We're kind of working our way through it. I looked at last week's Overtime. It looks great.
Sounds
great.
It does look good.
Yeah.
The visual is like we got better lighting. We have better than just overhead shitty fluorescent lighting like we do in the actual studio.
So
we both look a little bit better than the lighting in most of our clips.
That's like glaringly harsh.
Yes. And so we're happy to be here. We're obviously, this is like, we're going to have double overtime because then we have whatever it is we're calling our, the one we're filming tomorrow with Bill and Joe,
yeah.
Reflections of 250. But today I was excited to talk about this because I spend too much time on the interwebs, but I came across a clip that is getting shared a lot between comedian Pete Davidson,
yeah.
who everyone knows from SNL. He's
funny guy.
Also very open about his own mental health struggles. Guy who grew up, his father killed
in 9/11.
Yeah. And so,
firefighter.
And so he hosts a show through Netflix. And then John Cena, who I don't even know what movie he's plugging right now, but he's doing
a lot of stuff.
He's doing the rounds, promoting a film. And I knew tidbits about John Cena. I knew that he was the most Make-A-Wish, like out of all the celebrities, he's done the most Make-A-Wish Foundation appearances or requests or whatever. I knew that he was funny, like the HBO show that he does, where it's like a superhero type thing. My husband watched it. He really liked it. But I did not know the level of his game when it comes to how he shows up and speaks just in this clip. And I sent it to you,
yeah.
and then you went and listened to the entire conversation.
Yes, yes.
But for the sake of what we're doing today, it's kind of long, but I want to share the clip that I saw and that had so much commentary about how men talk to each other. And then I have a lot of questions for you as the man between you and I. So here is this clip of a conversation between Pete Davidson and John Cena.
When I was younger, my dad passed, like, I got to meet everyone, Jeter, The Undertaker. They set up these like little things at Toys R Us. So like, I remember I was old enough to know that this was like a very nice thing, but it was happening for a reason. So that was like kind of a mind fuck. And I kind of put myself there, but I was like, I can't imagine, the amount that you've done. And I've seen, I watched your videos of you with Make-A-Wish kids and the way you show up and the way you interacted with them to like prepare for how, because it was so foreign to me, like how to, do that. And I was just super impressed and like very like taken aback and like grateful that a guy like you exists. And I just want to know like how you turn that gear, because it is a very like emotional thing,
It is.
Yeah.
Man, your circumstances certainly, it's unique, yet you're not alone. I can tell you that. When you agree to something like that, you have to understand what you're agreeing to, right? When you agree to do that, you are signing up to be hope. Be the hope.
Right.
Whatever hill you're climbing, whatever discomfort you have to check at the threshold. You have to. If not, turn around. I think Make-A-Wish is a beautiful thing. I also don't think it's for everybody, because it is very sensitive.
Right.
And it is very emotional. Man, you're a new parent. Love yeah. seeing those videos.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
That new layer to your life might add an extra layer of sensitivity to something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You may look at that in a different way.
For sure.
So before I go into why that hit me, as a guy who's in his 60s, when you watch a clip like that or listen to the entire conversation, what's stuck out to you?
There's a lot of things. One, just John Cena, and both of them. Pete Davidson has had a hell of a life. His father was killed in 9/11, and he had a lot of mental health issues and still deals with some of that stuff. But John Cena is faceted in ways I never knew John Cena was built. I mean, this guy, mad respect. His interviewing skills are also amazing. His ability to take emotion, which is not typically something I associate with him, and put it into the words he uses, the choices he makes, as a communicator, as someone who works on radio, blown away by that. But what I love about this conversation, it's an honest conversation. This never happens anymore. Between two men having an honest conversation about emotion, their lives, challenges, fears, all that stuff, that is a rare thing. That's why I'm glad you found that. Because I don't know if I would have found him by myself. I don't really follow Pete Davidson. I know his story, SNL, obviously, and all the things that have happened to him and all of his girlfriends, which incredibly successful in that arena. Proud father now, apparently.
Yeah.
And John Cena sort of half paid attention to him. Just hearing that makes me proud to be a man, because this is not a usual conversation that men have. And I wish we should play it on the show. Because I think people need to hear this. This is what I hope men start doing when it comes to communication, not just between men and women, which is also very important, but between men. It is significant and profound. That's how good that was.
Do you feel like you have male friendships that you can be that vulnerable and open with?
That's a great question. I have a few.
Okay.
Some of them have been mentors, family, certainly, but not a lot. I'll ask you, women, I think have more of those.
Oh, hands down. I also have male friends that I can talk to that.
Which is great.
But I certainly female friends. And I ask that because I think this example of two masculine men, right? These are not, what is Bill's term, soy boys. Like guy who is a WWE wrestler.
Yeah.
And Pete Davidson, who is as crass as they come when it comes to some of his stand-up. Having this unbelievably emotional, vulnerable conversation on a comedy podcast, and even the simple word that I think a lot of people are picking up on is John Cena just saying, talk about it.
Yeah.
And if you watch the clip, he never breaks eye contact. He's listening super intently. And I just wonder how many men feel like they have other men in their lives that they can talk to in that fashion, because so much of it is joking around or is not being vulnerable. And I think why it's resonating with so many people, and who knows, maybe it's resonating with more women than it is with men, which is why I'm seeing it.
But it shouldn't be the case.
A positive example of how men can and should and need to talk to one another.
I just, again, mad respect for John Cena and Pete Davidson. I was thinking about this in the context of what we're watching and listening to, and I've had several chapters of my life, and I've had different people in each of those chapters be that person from a male-to-male relationship. Early on in my adult life, it was my dad. I mean, I could talk about anything, emotional stuff, me crying about something that was just driving me nuts or, whatever the situation was. Might even have been money problems at the time when I was in my early 20s, whatever it was. It just, that was then. And then I've worked through other versions of that. Again, not a big number of people, but, people that are teammates that I leaned on. I can think of stress situations where individuals at work were just putting a lot of stress on me, I thought unfairly, and I was losing it. I'm not a person that feels a lot of stress. I always often share with you, I just kind of go through life and live my life. But there are moments when it hits you and you got to talk to somebody. And I utilize mentors and in some cases teammates to say, man, I don't get what's happening here. I don't need to understand it. It's causing me stress. I can't sleep. I'm emotional beyond where I typically am. And the ability to do that might be sort of the answer to what we're hearing about men being more angry, men not communicating effectively, men not having great relationships with each other or women. I think this is sort of the way we need to go. And I get that we're going to get the people to say, toughen up or, man up or be more macho. I hate that bullshit because it's just stupid. There's no one more macho than John Cena. whether it's fake wrestling, what, I don't care. He's still a pretty macho dude. And Pete Davidson, having lived a life, and put yourself in his shoes. You're a kid and your dad gets killed in 9/11. That's horrific on anyone's level, but then that's your story that you have to live with. And I love that Make-A-Wish piece. And you're so right about the words. Talk about it. That's actually a phrase that broadcasting consultants say we shouldn't use.
What do you mean?
They call it lazy.
What do you mean?
They don't like the...
as a follow-up question?
Yeah, they think it's lazy. Talk about it. I think that's bullshit. That's exactly what you want them to do. You want them to relate their direct experience to the question or the subject.
And that's hilarious, because I feel like I've heard, say more about that as like a suggested
Tell
way
us
to
about it.
Dig a little bit deeper when your ears perk up on something where like they kind of gloss over it. You're like, no, say more about that thing.
Yeah, it's why some of that stuff is bullshit, because it doesn't make any sense. You want to hear someone's real life, their story, in the words they're choosing to answer your question. And I think Cena did a great job posing that and responding to Pete Davidson. And Pete Davidson, he's not the communicator that Cena is, but he certainly has the story. And he's a storyteller because he's a comedian. And he's done some brilliant things on SNL and some of the other projects he's worked on. And I haven't seen a lot of his podcasts, but this one blew me away. There's value in this. And first of all, great topic selection, because I don't know if I would have discovered it without you pointing me to it. And you are on the interwebs more than I am.
I am definitely on the interwebs.
I'm consciously
more than
trying
you.
Not to be. But this is here's another. That's another great point. It's an example of why you can't just shun it. My wife Kathy made this point to me. You're talking all big, and other people have made the same point about getting off the internet. But there's value there. There's a value proposition. This is one of those value propositions that I probably wouldn't have seen or heard about it. And now I have a better understanding. Look, we all have shit we're dealing with. And for men, we don't do a good job of talking about it or getting the answers. And that has to be reflected in the conduct of men in all kinds of weird, violent, super aggressive ways that aren't healthy for our society or the individual.
Have you ever felt, because of whatever presumptions you have about masculinity and stuff like that, that you've ever been blocked from like working through certain mental health stuff or certain situations in your life because you're like, oh, that's not what a man does, or you just bottle it up? Or do you feel like you've always been kind of in touch with your emotions?
That would be more an early version of me, not the later version, because actually some people think I'm super emotional and hypersensitive.
I would say you're certainly more in touch with your feelings than a lot of other, I'll say my dad, right? Like my dad is not someone who I've ever known to be like to understand his own emotions. But that is also like not only how he was raised by as like the man side of it, it's like my grandmother is Dutch, and I'm not sure the Dutch are known for talking about their feelings.
Well, Italians are very expressive.
A much more emotional bunch.
Also,
yeah.
But think about my context of my adult life. I got married at 25. Kathy has changed me in a lot of profound ways. We've talked about it on the show and the podcast. And then I raised two daughters. So I'm influenced, I hope, by their perspectives from a female woman perspective that make me more understanding and cognizant of the things that most men should be. When I talk to even young teammates here at GKB and WTMJ, the thing I hear is, from many young people in their 20s, is like they're not having these kind of conversations with women or the other sex or whatever. And I think that's where we suffer. When you just take it online, you're not going to have heartfelt conversations. When I was dealing with some of that stress in that I was talking about earlier, having long form conversations with people that mentored me getting through this stuff helped me dealt with what I thought was an unfair situation, a story not being depicted properly or characterized in the right way. They walk me through, this is what you need to know. This is what you're telling me. And then they gave me their thoughtful suggestions. These weren't 5-minute conversations. These were hour long or couple hour conversations with both men and women in leadership roles. And that was invaluable in helping me like move through that. So it is something that men have to be better at. And I guess the bigger question is, are we going to do that? Maybe these kind of things.
Well, that's the
shed
hope,
light.
Right? Is like that there, like there's more of this and less of Andrew Tate, as far as like the content that is out there from like positive male role models who are demonstrating what it's like that, like, you can both be vulnerable and admit flaws and it doesn't take away your value or like your manliness. And so like that's obviously the hope. But I think about it, like, how is it applied in, I don't know, like in general? I don't know, because I'm a softy woman who cries a lot.
Yeah. I was just telling the story before we started recording that I did an interview on my Videology podcast, and Alex Strofe asked me one, and Alex Strofe is one of our teammates, a great mm-hmm. interview, and he broke me because he asked me about all the way back to 2012, and I had worked all day on the response to the shooting, and then I came home and I saw my wife, and man, it was like,
yeah. Oof.
That's the thing that drives strong relationships, the ability to express anything and to talk about it. Man, woman, doesn't matter. Man to man, woman to woman, crossing our genders. That's the stuff that matters.
So with your male friends that you think of that you can talk to in that way, what would you say defines either who they are or the nature of your relationship? In case people who are listening to this is like, how do I even start? Like, how do I seek out the friendships that I do have to have these kinds of conversations of like, who in my life could I have this kind of like deeper relationship with, where it's beyond? Because I feel like a lot of my guy friends, when they talk about their friendship, it's like, and what they talk about, it's like, I'm not gonna say trivial or surface level, but it's like about the external instead of the internal.
Yeah.
And I think that is, that's fine. But as far as like the depth of your relationship, sometimes as men, doesn't go into feelings and that. So for the friends, when you think about who I have that with, how did you get there with them?
I benefit from being older. So we've lived through everything, our worst moments, health scares, losing friends. You know, my friend and former business partner died at the age of 62 recently, and I'm still not over it.
Yeah.
Sudden. But because we've shaped our lives and our conversations by all that stuff, we've seen and experienced all that. We can share anything. And I had a friend, Tom, who recently had a heart transplant. It's like, that's a big deal, big ass deal. And how he responded and how we as friends talk about anything. He's one of my mentors, somebody I used to work closely with. And I just appreciate that. But for me, it's because we've lived those stories together. We've mm-hmm. lived our lives together. For a younger person, maybe they don't have the depth of experience, maybe that's part of the challenge because you haven't lived those lives yet. You haven't lived the stories. Some people have. Pete Davidson, maybe that's why he's here or why he's in that piece, is because he has lived the story. A lot of people just go through their lives. That's why I hate the status quo. I want you to always challenge yourself. Do different things. Meet different people. Have different conversations. All easily said, harder to do. But I'm hopeful, as I often am about these things, that this kind of stuff opens a door to people. If we could blast that out to as many people that would never consume it, I would be, sign me up. How would we do that? Maybe it's playing part of that. Maybe that's a topic for a show. Because I think it's that important. Well done on you on picking the topic. It was spectacular. A win.
A win. Because
as you know, I don't always agree with you.
Oh. Inside joke. All right. On that note, anything? What is newsletter? Subscribe to Extra Points newsletter. If you're not getting that already, listen to us daily, 10 to 12 live on WTMJ for Point Taken, or listen to the podcast. But if you're getting this podcast right now, you probably already know where to find it. Anything else?
Always send us your ideas. Yeah, I'm in steve.scafidi@wtmj.com. What's your email?
kbrey@goodkarmabrands.com.
Yeah, and it could be show ideas as well. We get some great ideas from people. And there's obviously a lot going on. We have elections coming up, midterm elections, governor's election in the state of Wisconsin. I would say manage your feelings as best you can. Talk to the people that are going to shape your feelings in a positive direction. And just try to be positive. We talk all about the things that are challenging us, healthcare and economy and gas prices, food prices, and the way we don't talk to each other. But man, there are good people doing good things. And John Cena and Pete Davidson, I can't say enough about how positive that was and how it made me feel, which is good. Very cool.
Good.
Well done.
Thanks. I'll take all the credit.
She gets it.
All right. See you next time.
Ciao.